Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Interesting Weekend Chat with John here, Casper, and Espresso. We have the very talented gender artist Elsif with us today. I first came across Elsif's impressive work earlier this year during the January event, where she shared creations of her outstanding project for Algernon that we are going to talk about also today. And before we start, let's kick things off with a quick intro about the Interesting. Casper, please.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. We are the Interesting and International NFT Art Gallery and Podcast Show, founded by friends around the world. Espresso, Johannes are from Europe, Yoon's from the US, Rebel and myself are from Asia. We're driven by a common passion to showcase independent artists and their art and helping them stand out from the crowded NFT market that's pretty much still dominated by PFP projects. We showcase the art in on-cyber virtual galleries as a larger collection of art naturally brings a cross-pollination of viewership, and that has helped quite a few of our artists reach collectors through sales. We've organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends, with regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join our cozy Discord. Everything's on our link in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. Last but not least, we'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. And with that being said, back to you, June.
Thank you for the intro, Casper. So, hi, Elsa.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me here. This is a new experience for me, so it's very exciting and interesting. I actually just woke up. So this is 8 a.m. here in California, and I'm not really a morning person, but it's kind of refreshing to get up this early.
Thank you so much for joining our space at such an early time. I'm really grateful that you took the time to speak on our space about your project. So yeah, let's start. So you released your first project on FX Hash in January 2022, and you have created almost 20 projects since then. And what I find very impressive is how you use a variety of different tools just beyond JavaScript libraries like PFI, but you also use machine learning algorithms, shaders, and fractal masks, and you combine them in a very original way. So I was very curious about your background. Could you tell us a bit about your background and how you got interested in generative art?
Yeah, so I'm a Chinese-Canadian generative artist and software engineer. My education background is actually in software engineering, but I've always been interested in art from a young age. Like when I was 12, I went to this workshop for artists at a university in China, and I really enjoyed the experience, the environment, the people, and everything. When I was in high school in Canada, I also had an amazing art teacher who was, like, you know, setting up life drawing classes with models, and she was very nurturing and encouraging. So I was really conflicted back when I was in high school trying to decide what to do. Like, I really wanted to study art, but I also liked math and sciences, and, you know, my parents, being the first generation Asian immigrants that they were, they really pushed me heavily towards the technology and science route, like for me to become a software engineer. I don't regret the choice at all. Like, I really like my job, but I also have recently, I guess, yeah, in late 2021, I really wanted to do more with art. And that's around that time when I discovered generative art, which seemed to be a really good fit for my background, like combining my love for mathematics and programming together with art. As for the techniques that I use, I guess my initial FX Hash projects were all focused on specific algorithms and techniques, like, for example, parametric curves for remainder and like the ML algorithm for KNN. But I guess my later projects are more starting from a certain inspiration or artistic vision and developing that. I guess that's my trajectory as an artist up to this point.
Yeah, it's also so fascinating and at the same time relatable. I can relate to many of your experience that in Asian culture, somehow there's a strong push towards STEM topics and it's hard to pursue, or it's less encouraged probably to pursue art or something that you just do out of pure passion. So I was wondering, since you mentioned that you have a strong interest in art since a young age already, were there any specific artists or art movements that influenced you in your generative artwork? And I actually noticed that you have a particular interest in impressionists. I would love to hear more about what draws you to this style.
Yeah, I really love impressionism and also post-impressionist paintings as well. I think my favorite artist is Vincent van Gogh. It's just that his paintings are so vibrant and the brushstrokes of the paintings, like you can really see the passion of the artist and it just feel like you can connect with the artist. In general, I love artworks where you can see the brushstrokes and you can almost imagine the creation process of the artwork. I also like Chinese traditional paintings as well. Like it's a very different, I guess, a different mood, but let me think. So I feel like because I have two different cultural backgrounds, like I lived in China up until when I was 16, and then I moved to Canada with my parents when I was in high school. So yeah, I feel like there's a duality in everything I do and in my thought process. Sometimes I dream in Chinese, sometimes I dream in English. So there's like a lot of different influences in my background.
Oh, that's interesting. So I wonder whether we may even expect from you some generative art projects that are inspired by traditional Chinese art in the future. Actually pretty interesting because I haven't seen any projects that are inspired by that. Yeah. So tell us a bit about your creative process. You mentioned that you're often between a state of duality. And would you say that you rely more on intuition when creating your projects, or do you more follow a logical framework when you create your art?
I think I've done both. Sometimes I have this idea where I just want to start with something really simple, like a modular component, and then repeated. And a lot of my work have stemmed from this. I guess that's part of the reason why I really love generative art. It's this emergent property, like you start with something small and then it can develop into something either surprising or there's so much variety, like it's completely different from what you originally imagined. It's so quick and easy to experiment on a digital canvas rather than imagine like if you're using a physical medium, you're going to use up so much materials and time to try this many different things. But I think with generative art, it's really cool to start with an idea and then just follow where the code and output lead you. So that's one thing I do sometimes. But sometimes I also have a fairly definitive goal in mind. And like I want to create a certain kind of mood or feeling with my artwork. And then I try to go towards that.
Do you actually also start out with physical art before one of these Jenna projects?
Not really. But yeah, sometimes I do small sketches on paper, like for the composition and things like that. But I also do drawing just with pen and paper, pencil, charcoal, things like that.
Okay, that's amazing. I wonder how does your family embrace this new passion, or and friends, how they view this new kind of self?
Yeah, it definitely takes up a lot of my time because I still work full-time as a software engineer at a pretty large company in the Bay Area. So I used to play a lot of video games. I've kind of replaced the video game time with art time. And for my family, I think they don't fully understand generative art and NFTs and everything around it, but they look at the art and then they like it. So they're generally supportive. And my friends, I've kept this side of my life away from my IRL friend so far. I feel like Elsif is not my real name. It's my pseudonym and I have separate socials for the other part of my life. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll merge them back together, but not yet.
All right. Yeah, that's totally fine. I think a lot of people actually start an anonymous way and then at some point dox themselves along the journey when they feel ready. So actually, I also really love emotional and introspective quality of your work, especially how you explore the themes, memories and dreams, which are kind of recurrent in your project. And I'm curious, are there any specific like experiences or emotions that inspire you to explore these themes in your art?
I think part of it is the immigration experience. I feel like I've moved away from one culture almost. And there's a lot of memories from my past places and people. It's becoming more blurry and fading, but I want to hold on to it. On the other hand, just learning about machine learning, artificial intelligence, and programming, it's really fascinating to see how machines deal with memory as like compared to humans. And for my work memory module, I was thinking about how computers store bits of memory, and what if we can represent human memory in a similar form? Like that whole project, I just draw with squares, and it's the same size. Basically, the entire artwork is created just by repeatedly drawing squares of the same size. And I guess, yeah, memory is very precious to me. I feel like it's part of what makes who we are. It's also what I'm the most afraid of losing, I would say. So that's reflected in some of my projects as well.
Oh, that's so fascinating. How your background or how your experience as an immigrant kind of flow into your creative art. And at the same time, like, it's a logical part where you try to reflect on how machines deal with memory also contributed to your art. Very interesting. So let's dive deeper now into your project on Epic Sesh. And I would definitely love to learn more about a memory module that you already mentioned. And also would like to chat more about Algernon, of course. But first, I wonder, which of the projects that you've created so far are you most proud of?
That's an interesting question. It's kind of asking you to pick who's your favorite kid. I think I like any projects, even the earlier ones that were not as popular. And I'm the most proud of, I don't know if there's recency bias or something, I would say for Algernon, because that's my latest work.
I also think like Algernon most, but also I realized memory module. I think memory module is really fascinating to me because, as you already mentioned, you use just simple squares as a building block to create these complex structures that remind me of skyscrapers sometimes. And I realize how you symbolize memory like through these squares and how as new ones are formed, the older ones gradually fade away. So I really love the symbolism behind the work and how everything's just really built on this simple basic shape of squares. And memory module, that's the first part of your series of related work on the theme of introspection, where you try to explore the idea that memories shape basically everything in our lives, from dreams to subconscious states to ourselves, basically. Did you actually have a particular interest in human psychology, or what inspired you in the first place to explore these different states of human consciousness?
Yeah, so I don't really have a background in psychology, but as I mentioned, I also study AI and machine learning, and it's really interesting to try to explore deeper into ourselves while trying to teach machines to be more intelligent. I'm also interested in the more sci-fi things where, you know, maybe one day we'll be able to upload our consciousness and live on in a digital world or something like that. But for the introspection series, I wanted to create something about memory, dreams, subconscious, and ultimately the self. I'm actually a little bit stuck on the series right now. The memory part came easily to me, and for dream, I'm still developing it. Yeah, so for dream module, I found that I have a variety of palettes and interesting outputs, but it just either doesn't seem cohesive enough as a collection to me, or it doesn't seem to have enough variety. So I'm still tinkering on that.
Yeah, I wonder actually about these different parts of introspection series. They all, at least to me, convey a certain type of emotion. And for memory module, it's the emotion of nostalgia for me. How did you like decide in the first place on the color palette for each part of the project? I guess it's still probably an all-involving thing.
Yeah, as you said, so for memory, I did want to invoke the sense of nostalgia, and I picked a background color that's kind of a faded, warm white color that conveys the sense, I feel like. And then also most of the drawings are similar to like sketches and line drawings. It's not very vivid. On the other hand, for dream, I wanted to create this sense of wonder, fantasy, but also a little bit of faded feeling, because dreams are hard to hold down to. Once you wake up, you forget about them or just don't even remember at all. By the way, there's this really interesting thing. I've seen a couple of studies about whether people dream in color. Apparently, based on studies done in the 80s or earlier, where everybody had black and white televisions in their homes, people seem to say that their dreams are black and white. But then in more recent studies, it seems to indicate that people actually do dream in color. So that's why the dream module would have color.
Oh, that's so fascinating. It's actually really interesting that according to the study, people start to dream in colors once TVs became colored. But why should an electronic device have such an influence on our dream? Because we experience our environment in colors. I find this interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting and also surprising to me as well, because I feel like I've always dreamed in color, even though when I read that people are supposed to dream in black and white. And that was really confusing. And now I read this more recent thing that said people do dream in color. It was reassuring that I'm not just weird or imagining things. On the other hand, I think we do confuse imagination with memory sometimes. I forgot what it's called, maybe memory replacement. The idea is that when you don't really recall something, your mind fills in the gaps. And I don't know, maybe people really just don't remember their dreams that well, whether it's black and white or color. And then so what this television thing was really affecting is not how you dream, but how you recall the dreams.
That's interesting. So what actually your plans for this project? Will you be releasing parts 2 to 4 this year? And I remember seeing that the last part, the fifth part, Self, is something that you still need to develop over a much longer period of time.
Yeah, so I don't really have a release date for Dream Module yet. And I guess the next parts are even further away. But I'm also considering not releasing them in order, because I feel like Outer Ego is actually more developed in subconscious, for example. But sometimes it's difficult to plan ahead. So whenever inspiration strikes and I can actually finish it, I'll release it.
All right. Do our calls have a question to memory module before we move on? Yeah, Espresso, go ahead.
Thanks. And hi. So my question is, how do you know when a project is done and ready to release?
That's a really difficult question. Sometimes I feel like it's never ready because there's always something that I can tune to make it better in my eyes. But on the other hand, I find that with generative art, having a variety of outputs is important. And also people seem to have different tastes. Some of the favorite editions of others, of collectors, are not exactly my personal favorite. So I've decided to, you know, once I've generated tens of thousands of outputs and iterated for long enough, basically when the average output is no longer getting improved, that's when I stop.
That's a lot of work as well to test that many outputs that you can confidently say that now everything is great, right? And yeah, looking at these projects, there's very impressive amount of diversity, and still each project is cohesive. You can immediately recognize which project particular output is from. So that's very impressive work.
Thank you. Casper, you're next.
Yeah, so Elsif and Yoon, before I start my question, I just want to say it's three of us that have Chinese influence parents pushing us to technical degrees or qualifications. And here we are still in Web3. Haha, jokes on them. So anyway, question I had was, Elsif, was there any project that you were inspired by for you to hop onto the bandwagon to create something yourself?
Actually, yes. I think it was Dragons. I just saw it on Twitter randomly, and it had this really interesting movement and emotion to it, even though it's like a fairly simple concept, but the execution was so beautiful and I loved it. And that's what introduced me to FSHash in the first place.
Okay. I can't say I've heard of Dragons because I started my Gen Art journey on Art Blocks, but I've just Googled it and it looks pretty fantastic. Thanks for sharing. I'll delve into it a little bit more.
That's one of the absolute biggest projects William Mampan has done.
Oh, wow. That's from William Mampan. Okay. Shows how noob I am on this.
Yeah. Another not really art-related question, but related to your background as a software engineer. So do you think that computers or just AI can become conscious at some point, since we're talking about consciousness?
It's really hard to say. I mean, there are a lot of emergent properties. I don't even understand human consciousness all that well, right? Like, how does that work? But I think what I do believe is that machines can become indistinguishable from conscious, or at least least it can emulate consciousness. Based on our interactions with it, there would be no way for us to tell that it is not conscious. But then at that point, maybe we can just say that it has become sentient because we can no longer say definitively that it's not.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Because even if I would fulfill some of these characteristics of self-awareness, it still could be that it just appears to be that way, right?
But if it pretends well enough, then if we can't tell it apart from the real thing, then does it become the real thing?
Yeah, yeah, that's very fascinating and for sure something that we will to some degree experience in the future, I assume. So for Algernon, what I love about this project is in one way the emotional depth of the project and of course very nice aesthetics, but also the technical part, how you implemented the visuals. And as I read it, you actually developed two original algorithms for this work. So for everyone who hasn't seen this project yet, the outputs, they're animated and they begin with just shapes of flower petals, which look like digitally drawn. And eventually they would transform into a more organic and impressionistic style that looks like acrylic painting. Yeah. So as if, please tell us about the inspiration first behind this wonderful project and also how you decided on this specific techniques and others that you used.
So I actually started trying to experiment with different ways to draw flowers a long time ago, like early last year. I think one of the projects I released on FX Hash was called Valentine, where I drew parametric roses, but those were very mathematical and it's purely based on equations. And then I've also been exploring other ways, like with sine waves and Bezier curves, to draw flowers. And around like late last year, I think in December or November, I came across this short story called Flowers for Algernon. And I read it. I knew like a lot of people read it in school, apparently, but my school never had that. And the story really moved me at a very deep personal level. Like I cried so much while reading it. And then that's just the inspiration behind the project. And it made me want to work on it and create flowers and also to somehow convey some of the feelings I got from the story. Yeah, I don't know, would you like me to talk more about the story?
Well, yeah, please maybe share like a brief summary of what the story is about, because I currently listen to it as an audiobook version. And I would also totally recommend this to anyone. So please tell us what the story is about.
So the version I read is a short story. I knew the author also developed it into a novel later. Now it's lengthier, but I haven't actually read the novel. I feel like the story is perfect and I just want to leave it at that and not really expand on it. But maybe one day I'll end up reading the novel because I am interested in what more the author thought about it. But the story is about Charlie, who is someone with an intellectual disability, who underwent this experimental surgery to increase his intelligence to genius level. And Algernon is his little buddy, who is a laboratory mouse that this experimental procedure was first performed on, who also became super intelligent for a mouse. I don't really want to spoil the story in case anyone wants to read it, but let's just say at the surface level, it's about how we treat people with mental disabilities and also about logic and emotion and how you develop as a person as you become more intelligent. And also there's the inevitably decline at the end of everything. But I also find that it's kind of in a nutshell about life in general, about like growing up, growing into the person that you're meant to be, and also eventually losing it at the end. So it's kind of a bittersweet story about the coming of age and also aging. So yeah, that's what I try to convey with the project.
Yeah, I think even if you would spoil like the story or just by revealing more about how the story ends, I think it's still a very great story just to read and experience on your own. Because I read about the summary first and I'm currently reading the full novel. I didn't even know there is a short story version of it. And I find it really captivating just to see the development of the main character, Charlie, and how subtle the transition or expansion of his mental abilities were. And it's constructed in a very artful way. played by the author. And
it's really interesting, in the middle of the book, when he was at the height of his intelligence, it became difficult for him to connect with the people around him. It's almost like he had no more time for emotions. It's like there's a lack of balance there, right? You're becoming a version of yourself that's almost superhuman, but then you've also lost a lot of who you were in the process. And yeah, sorry, I'm not describing this very well. If you're interested, I would suggest you look up the short story. It's available online. And I think there are like a lot of different PDF files where teachers are distributing it to students. It's a pretty short read and it's very interesting.
So I think it's also interesting how different readers actually see different themes in this book. And I think as Charlie was really longing to become a more intelligent person because he somehow believes that people would like him more, it feels to me that many of us believe we need to possess certain qualities in life or fulfill certain roles in society to be liked by others, only at some point to realize this is not necessarily true. I think this was something that really resonated with me. And I'm not sure whether this was your intention, but I think what has been really artful in your project for Algernon is that you start out with these clear drawings of flowers, and they could represent, for instance, memories or memories that Charlie may have regained during his evolutionary process, and only to experience that it starts to fade away at a certain point. And I'm not sure whether this was intention, but this is something that I just kind of tried to read into it. And I really like it.
Yeah, that was definitely the intention. Basically, like drawing flowers with very clear and concise lines with mathematical equations, and it's like pure logic. It's like at the height of intelligence, right? And then having it fade away, but also become more interesting in the process, in a sense, like it becomes more complex and intermixed and more human before it eventually all fades away.
Yeah. Are there specific emotions that you hope to evoke in people who view your project for Algernon?
I think it's definitely up to the viewer. I hope everyone can read a bit of themselves into it, like what they want to see. But for me personally, I think there's a sense of unknown, like intrigue. You don't really know where the piece will end up as it develops. And also a slight sense of loss towards the end of the rendering process, because you see it's like the colors fleeting away across the canvas and the forms disappearing. It's where is it all going? Where has everything gone? That was my intention.
Yeah, I also actually want to share this really beautiful poem that you wrote in the description of the project, because I think it's make the art and everything more complete. And it says, I brought flowers for Algernon, but some are lost to time when logic gives way to emotions and order surrenders to entropy. For lost youth and forgotten dreams, someday there may be flowers for me. And I think the last sentence when I read this made me so sad. Yeah, but it totally conveys the emotions that you wanted to express. And also it goes really well together with the original story. Yeah, so it's a masterpiece.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you like it.
Do we have any questions from our co-hosts regarding For Algernon?
No, I think I just wanted to comment that the story sounds pretty heartbreaking, but it's definitely on my reading list right now. I really appreciate how unique the piece is, starting from the really clear picture of flowers and how, like you've mentioned, Elsif, everything starts to drift away. And I guess without the background of the novel, different people would have different perspectives, right? But if you link it back to the novel that you mentioned, I think it's quite a sad feeling that at least it evokes in me to remind ourselves that everything fades away. So like cherishing the moment kind of feeling for myself. So just wanted to add my own personal commentary.
Thank you. Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Live in the moment and cherish what you have. So I think if you're interested, I can also talk a little bit about the technique that went into this.
Yeah, totally. Would love to hear more about these two algorithms that you developed for this project.
Yeah, so the first algorithm was just the equations for drawing the flowers. And then the second algorithm is what I spent a lot of time on, how to like blend the colors and also make everything super fast. So I think one thing with my earlier projects was I wasn't paying too much attention to performance. I, for example, K&N, because it's running ML in the browser. Like, it's really slow. And also even Elsewhere and Elsewhere Atlas were two other projects that were interesting to watch render, but slow. So it's at that point that I started looking into shaders and other things to speed up the rendering process, because I feel like I'm not a very patient person and I don't like waiting. I want to be able to present the artwork to users or collectors as quickly as possible. So for Arginon, originally to blend colors, like sample all around the pixel. So for every pixel, I would sample 9 values and then average it together. And that turned out to be really slow. So I looked into a lot of different ways to optimize it. Eventually, I decided to use the browser's native way of blending things. Basically, if you take an image and you scale it down to half its size, the browser can do it super quickly. And it also does interpolation and color blending so that your picture still looks smooth even when downscaled. So I ended up using that as a fast color blending algorithm. Basically, I create off-screen canvases to downscale images like by half at a time. Oh yeah, that's another thing. So browsers are weird. They try to be very performant. So if you scale an image down by a lot, for example, 4x instead of 2x, it doesn't actually do the blending that I talked about. It just samples one pixel from wherever that's closest to where it's supposed to be in the new picture and just presents that. Then that version of the resampled image looks very bad. So what I do is, if I want to have the picture be 4x smaller and blend things together many times, I have this downsampling loop to make it progressively smaller, 2x at a time. And then now I have a smaller image with the blended colors. I sample from that to draw onto the bigger canvas that I actually present to the viewers. At the same time, I also draw tiny little strokes to the sampled image. I hope this is understandable. But basically, it's a method I developed to blend colors very quickly.
That's very fascinating. Thanks for sharing this process. How long did it take for you to experimenting around it?
I think this took a couple of weeks. Like, I tried a lot of different things and just ended up working the best. So, yeah.
Cool. I think Espresso, you also have collected from the project Eddie. Would you like to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I can. I have a question about Eddie. I really love that project. I think it's very playful and fun. And in particular, I love the colors and the blending. So I was curious, how do you find your palettes and put together these playful colors?
It's a variety of things. Sometimes I take photos and then I sample colors from the photos. And sometimes I use paintings that I like. I've also recently discovered this library of colors called Metbrewer. Someone had sampled colors from a lot of famous paintings from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and I made it available in a library format. So I've used some palettes from that as well. So for Eddie, you're right. It's definitely playful. And that was my original intention too. It was like in winter and everything was kind of gray around me and I was feeling a little down and I wanted to add some colors to my room to just brighten up the days. And that's how that project started. So I intentionally picked colors that feel happy and playful.
Yeah, it works really great. And yeah, also beautiful, this world that you had. That's also something you kind of compare it to currents in water. So can you talk a bit about how you get them to swirl like this?
So for Eddie, I created gradients of two colors for each block on the canvas. And then I warped it with a transformation to kind of, yeah, like you said, swirl it around like water. And there are a few different parameters for the warping. I actually experimented with a lot of different ways to warp it, and I eliminated a lot of outfits that I didn't like. So if you look at the Associated FX Text article called Spinning Eddie, I think there is some explanation of how that's done and also example images of different types of warps that could happen on a canvas, similar to, you know, how water could spin.
Thanks. That's super interesting. And yeah, Matt Brewer, just Google this library. That's also very interesting in the sense that you can go by palettes that others have found to work and start from that instead of starting from scratch. Sounds very useful.
Yeah, thank you, Spessel. So yeah, we're coming to the Intel space, and just have a final question to you, Elsa. Are there any upcoming projects you're excited to share with us?
Yeah, so there is one project I've been working on for a few months now. It's a group show in July with Ferrofile, with a group of really talented generative artists, and I'm very excited about that. So I've shared some work in progress on Twitter. It's mountains and colored clouds and fog, things like that. Basically, the idea is that I want to create a connected landscape where the whole collection would connect together into one image. And I'm experimenting a lot with like features. And I feel like this is also the first project I'm blending in some of the Eastern, like traditional Chinese art styles with Western art styles into one piece. Yeah, I haven't been very good at sharing works in progress.
I just pinned one on the pinned tweets.
Thanks. So yeah, I guess sharing work in progress, it's always something that's conflicted for me personally. I don't like sharing things that's not final and polished. But on the other hand, I also feel like people want to see how you got to where you are. So sharing work in progress is good. I'm now more leaning towards just compiling all the intermediate outputs into one article or something and then sharing it at the end. So yeah, that's the main project I'm working on. I also have a few other pieces that I'm working on as well. And also the introspection series that Yun mentioned earlier, I'm still working on that on and off. But yeah, looking forward to the show in July and see what that brings.
Yeah, amazing. And now I definitely see like how your work is developing very strongly just over a course of a little bit than a year. And it's really great to see. Thank you so much for this very interesting and inspiring chat. I think we all learned a lot. I'm very inspired by everything that you shared with us today. And really looking forward to what you will create in the future and also follow these projects that you just mentioned. So thank you so much and hope you have a great Sunday.
Thank you for teaching me how to use Twitter space. Nice to talk to all of you, and you too. Have a great Sunday.